Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday, and welcome to the Her Radio Podcast. We are continuing to harvest an entrepreneurial revolution. We have some good stuff in store for you today. I just want to talk a little bit about an event I attended yesterday. It was called Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Boss. Making lemonade out of lemons, honey. How many of y'all know how to make some lemonade out of the lemons that life throw you? When I say that that room was full of women who have been empowered by their trials and tribulations, it was just a really empowering and enlightening event. And I learned a lot. I just wanted to shout out. I met some very nice people. And I'm just, you know, still really filled with all the excitement and the emotion that was filled in the room that yesterday. So today, we're going to talk to another author, Richard Sutton. He is the author of a book called Fear of Becoming a Man. So the book, he's also a speaker and a trusted motivator whose goal is to help his audience transform their fear into accomplishments. Richard has captivated an array of audiences with his transparency, witty spirit, positive energy, and strategies for inspiring all to believe in possibilities. Richard's first literary work, Fear of Becoming a Man, was released in November of 2016. In this book, he shares with the readers his vulnerability and his discovery of what manhood is, what it looks like, and what it represents. His second literary work, Black Men Decoded, will be released the fourth quarter of this year, so stay tuned for that. A native of Philadelphia, PA, he is an entrepreneur who is the owner of PDQ Management, LLC, and the founder of Amari Academy, also a three-time award winner and the NAACP featured author. So he's going to be calling in today, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about his book and also a curriculum that he has developed for young men to help them transition from boyhood to manhood. So I'm still trying to find a regular theme song for the show. I haven't done so yet, but I will. And so while we're waiting for Mr. Richard Sutton to call in, you can call in if you'd like. The call-in number is 909-265-9268. That's 909-265-9268. So this has been a very exciting week, a very, very exciting week. I'm going to give a shout-out to Letitia Johnson. She's a licensed financial coach, author, and speaker, and she will be coming on to the show talking to us about how to manage our money and how to prepare for our future. So what's been happening in the world this week? Oh, my goodness, so many things. I just want to send prayers to the family of the nine members who died in the duck boat drowning. I just can't understand why they didn't have on life preservers. And just prayers to their families and all the families of those who have suffered the loss of loved ones, suffered the loss of property, damage, fires. There's so much stuff going on in the world that we just need to stay prayed up and keep on our full armor. Okay, so I'm still waiting for Mr. Richard Sutton to call in and talk about fear of becoming a man. But while we're waiting, let's talk about God. So today, I hadn't been to church in so long because I had come to a point where I was questioning my religious beliefs. And so I had to go, and I did a lot of reading and a lot of research. And what I found is that even through all my reading and learning about Egypt and the Mayans and the Sumerians and the hieroglyphics and the messages and the drawings and the things that they left, messages that they left for us to know who we are. And while I'm saying that, I'm going to shout out Earth, Wind, and Fire, who have always tried to tell us that the answer is in the stone. When they say in the stone, they mean the stones of the pyramids. They were giving us so much information, and we were just grooving to the music. But so in my research, what I found that all roads just lead right back to the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is real. And it was shed for the remission of our sins, and so that we could be redeemed back to our Creator. And so I just wanted to share that with you guys today. If you don't believe in God, or if you don't believe in the Bible, that's your choice. But we cannot walk around thinking that there is no higher power. There is definitely a higher power. There is definitely something higher than what we are, and we have to look within ourselves to find our light and not be afraid to allow our light to shine in the darkness in which we live. So I just wanted to give a shout out to my Creator, my God, my Savior, my Redeemer. So we have Mr. Richard Sutton on the line. Rich, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, no complaints. No complaints at all. Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem. I'm happy to have you come on and talk about, I've already introduced you, read your bio. So we're just waiting for you to tell us a little bit more about your book. What prompted you to write the book, what age group is it geared to, and where we can find it at?
Well, what prompted me to write the book was really I actually woke up one morning and I had the name on, like, it was like on my spirit real heavy. I tried to ignore it for like half the day, but the more I ignored it, the louder it got. So you know that thing, like when God trying to get your attention.
That's how God works, you know, doesn't he?
Right, so you can't ignore it. So literally, I was walking around that old day, and it was just like it was on my spirit real heavy. I literally had to write it down on a piece of paper. So I wrote it down. Once I wrote it down, like, it just stopped. You know what I'm saying? And I was good, but I would, so I had to move on it. And then, I started writing the book, and the book was really, for me, it wasn't really particularly geared at any particular age range. It was just me putting out my story and understanding what it is I went through, what I've overcome to become who I am as I continue to develop into, you know, where God's taking me. So, you know, that it was that process. But, you know, I feel like, you know, from eighth grade on out, you know, I think the book is applicable on that level. And it's really just, the book's called Fear of Becoming a Man. So a lot of times people have made it more like it's for men. It's just for men. But, you know, the irony in it is like 90% of my sales have been women.
So, of course.
That's the interesting part, you know. The book can be found.
Now, when you wrote it, did you write it particularly for men, or can women apply it to their lives as well?
I didn't see, that's what I'm saying. I didn't write it for any particular. I wrote it because it was put on my spirit to write it. It wasn't written in a sense. This is who I'm gearing it to. It was, I have a story, I want to tell it, and excuse me.
Oh, bless you.
I apologize.
It was a story.
I know, right? It was my story. It was put on my spirit to write it, and I didn't write it with a particular group of people initially. I just wrote it and wanted to tell my story. But I think that is applicable to young and old men and women. Matter of fact, a friend of mine from college, she was doing the first edits when I first put it out. And she was like, "There's stuff in here I can definitely relate to, you know, growing up in New York and, you know, being passed around the family shop." When you was writing, I'm reading that part, it's like I was like having flashbacks. So I think there's takeaways in there for whoever reads it. It's not just for, you know, for men or for boys. It's whoever wants to read it and get the message.
And what is the message?
Well, the message is that there's definitely a false notion out there of what being a man is and what it really is, right? There's, we associate things like, you know, money, career, you know, what kind of car you drive to manhood when in fact it has nothing to do with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, manhood is really just, you know, learning the lessons in the things that you've gone through, knowing how to stand in your truth. You know, understanding that, you know, when you have to provide, you have to provide. You have to protect, you have to protect. You know, you got to be able to get out there and do it on your own sometimes, and know that no one's going to pat you on the back for being who you're supposed to be. You know, being willing to ask questions, you know, and seek knowledge, you know, and learn, you know, from your mistakes, the things that you know, your failures, seeing people around you fail. Like for me, like, you know, drugs has never been my thing. Why? Mm-hmm. Because I seen my family, you know, fail at it. And you know, I seen my family, from some of my family who hustled and sold drugs, some of my family who used drugs, you know. There's a chapter in the book where I talk about, I call it Superman, talking about my uncle. My uncle was a Superman to me. Like, he was like an amazing dude growing up, and I seen him go from being this amazing guy to me sitting at the stoplight, him walking past, looking me dead in my face and not know who I was because he was so high, you know. relatable concepts that you know, I think a lot of us growing up in these urban areas can relate to. So is, you know, there's a distinct difference from transitioning from black boy to black man versus anybody else. You know, we have different challenges, different things that we have to overcome. Very few people want to mentor us, especially if we're confident with who we are. I know in corporate America, you know, I learned the hard lessons in corporate America that, you know, if you're confident and you want to be successful, if you're not choosing to dial down or conform to a certain look or process, then, you know, you're arrogant, you're cocky. That's who I was, you know. I had a coworker come say to me one time while I was working in the banking industry. He said, "Rich, you come to these corporate meetings, and you walk in, you know you're not a little guy. You're like you're 6 foot. You come in here with a suited and booted, but you got a bow tie on and a beard." He said, "They don't know how to take you."
What?
I'm like, what exactly does that mean? I'll never forget that. These are things as black men that other cultures don't have to deal with. If we decide to conform, then we kind of dodge some of the stuff. But if you don't want to conform, oh, it's even worse, you know. Or being a young black man that's in corporate America, and you see an older black gentleman, and you go to him for advice and guidance. But he sees how you move, so he takes you coming to him as a threat because you want his position, not you want his knowledge.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a big issue in our community, not just in corporate America, but just in our communities in general. We don't see helping each other as something. We see it as a threat. Like, it's like people don't want to help you because they're threatened that you might do better than them or take their spot, or I guess that's that crab in the barrel mentality.
That it is. And so, you know, it's just being able to, just like in school, I was labeled with a learning disability, right? Black boys.
How many of our little black kids are labeled with a learning disability? Almost every black child in the Philadelphia School District has an IEP. I'm going to leave that right there.
There you go, you know. And so I was labeled with one. I was told that I wasn't even going to finish high school. I finished high school. I went to college. I've managed a bank. I've written a book. I'm writing a new book. But you told me I couldn't learn. And so the thing about that is my father, who was around but wasn't always present, I still give him credit for saving my life, because I remember coming home one day from Robert Fulton Middle School. And I mean, elementary school, Robert Fulton Elementary School from Ben Germantown. And I told him that he wasn't there. My uncle was helping me with my homework. And I was like, you know, I struggled with it because I wasn't strong in math. And, you know, they were helping me. And I guess my uncle said something to my father when he came in. My father came and woke me up. And he was like, "Yo, what's going on with you in school?" And I said, "I'm stupid." And my father has never put his hands on me. My father had never, you know, raised his voice to me or none of those things. But that day when I told him I was stupid, I saw another side of him that I've never seen before and never wanted to see again. And I always say that saved my life, because it let me know that I wasn't who I was starting to believe because of what they was telling me. You know, if someone's telling you you got to learn a disability and putting you in these classes, you start to believe it.
Right. That's right. Excuse me. So tell us about the Amari Academy.
Well,
hello?
Can you say it again? Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell us about the Amari Academy?
So the Amari Academy was academy that I had started up, and what I wanted to do was I did it twice. It was like first on Saturdays I took young guys from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. and we spent the day with them, and I taught them leadership, money mindset, self-respect, self-value, how to treat, speak, and talk to a woman. those were my focal points, right? And I was showing them stuff like that, where I would pull up YouTube events like Black Wall Street and show them Black Wall Street, right? And I had one of my young guys say to me, he's like, "Yo, Mr. Rich, he's like, why they never talked about this in school? They never said anything about this in school." And I was like, "Get it? They probably won't, but that's why I'm showing it to you. This is why I'm teaching it to you, so you do understand it. So you do, you are aware of it now, you know." So that was my focal point. My goal, my dream, is to buy my alma mater, Germantown High School, and turn it into the Amari Academy boys school for all boys, teaching them leadership, entrepreneurship, about politics, and, you know, things where they can turn around and be pillars in their community, you know, and be impactful. So that's the goal.
What are they doing with Germantown High School? I think it's up for sale. Is it still up for sale?
Yeah, it's just sitting there looking like an eyesore right now.
Right? And it's rotten. Just, they're not doing anything with it.
So,
the things that you did with the boys, is that part of the curriculum that you have going on?
No, my curriculum that I got developed is based off of my book, Fear of Becoming a Man. So what I did was I took particular chapters out of the book and had a whole curriculum created. The curriculum is set to Pennsylvania state standards. It is a 4 years worth of curriculum done by a friend of mine who has over 14 years in the education system. She develops and creates curriculums. So I told her my idea, I told her what I wanted, and she put a curriculum together for me to be able to do that. And what I learned is a lot of our youth are leaving school with very low reading and comprehension skills. So when they get to college, they end up having to take remedial classes their freshman year because their reading and comprehension skills aren't up to par as they should be. So my curriculum is based off of infusing a focus on reading and comprehension, but doing it in a way where they don't recognize that that's what they're enhancing, because it's based off of chapters in my book where it's conversation, it's links. I have TED links, I have YouTube links connected to it, the whole nine, so they can, it could be as reading in interactive form as well.
That is so cool. So do you actually have the curriculum? Do you present it anywhere?
Well, no. So the curriculum really just got completed like a month or two ago. So since I've gotten it completed, I've been going hard on trying to get it into school. My goal is to get it in schools all across the country. There is right now, there is no curriculum that's focused on urban youth that's relatable to them, that's something that they can pull from it, but not even recognize that they're learning in the process because it's such relatable topics in it. So I have, you know, some of the curriculum, I have a chapter about manhood. So the first curriculum talks about manhood. I have another one talk about self-doubt, because I talk about self-doubt in the book. And so I talk about self-doubt in the book. So there's a handout in there where you fill out and talk about self-doubt, how it impacts you, what's your thoughts about it, and stuff of that nature. You know, there's handouts in the book that talks about, you know, careers, which careers may need, you know, a degree for versus the ones that you may not need a degree for. You know, I got in there to talk about the Cosby, and I talk about Bill Cosby in the book. So it's a section in the curriculum to talk about Cosby. And, you know, believe, say what you want about him now, feel how you want to feel about him now. But Bill Cosby was very influential, and especially for my generation growing up in the 90s, getting us to go to college. right, where nobody was talking about college or focus in college where I grew up at. And it opened our minds to thinking higher than what we were already being given. Matter of fact, I went to Shaw University. He wore a Shaw University shirt on the Cosby Show. So it was very impactful. For it. So I had
no matter
a
what, he,
talking about
yes,
him.
Yes, he made a great impact with college education. He made that popular. He made it popular.
Correct.
He made it fun. Yes, yes,
correct.
He did.
Yep.
He did. Wow, that's time is running out. I did want to ask you one more question about, I was going to tell you about the school districts. I went on to see, you know, procurement and RFPs for the school district, and really, I'm talking about the Philadelphia school district, what they all have as far as procurement and RFPs are concerned are for capital improvements with the water system, the buildings. They don't have RFPs for, like, curriculum and extracurricular or community. I even went to the family and community page. So what they've done is to give monies to the schools. The principals are now, they have been allotted monies that they allocate to use in ways that they see fit to help their students. So it's no more going through the school district for this type of thing. You actually go directly to the school and talk to the principals. That's what
I appreciate that information. I'm definitely. I appreciate that information. I'm definitely going to do that. I know the Philadelphia Juvenile Justice Center bought 200 copies of my book. Yes. So I'm trying my next thing to try to get them to buy the curriculum to utilize with the books that they purchase.
Yes, that would be great. That would be great. Well, our time is almost up. I am so happy that you made it home to call in. Thanks for calling in.
I apologize for being late.
We did have a few listeners. I had a few drop calls. Some people did call in. I'm sorry I didn't get to you. I'm sorry. 30 minutes goes by really quick.
It does. Will you have a playback of this?
All of my shows are available to be listened to at any time on my website, KendallHayes.org. And you can just click on it. It'll come up a list of the shows. The previous shows will come up, and you can click on whichever one you'd like to listen to. That's the one thing I like about Blog Talk Radio. It's always available. The shows are always available for rebroadcast or re-listening.
Yes. Thank you.
So I look forward go ahead.
Say it again. Oh, no, I wanted to say, as listening to your, because I was late, so my apologies once again. But one of the things, when I was listening to your podcast from the previous week, two things that that you were talking about, one in politics, and you was talking about a young man that you used to work with, this, I think you said his name was Keith, and how he was giving you so much pushback, but there was a death that he was dealing with that you had to dig deeper to find out about. And see, that's my thing. If we have things like self-doubt, so imagine if you had my curriculum, he's talking about self-doubt, right? And he decided to write that on there in his self-doubt, then that pulls out a conversation for you to be able to help deal with this and get him through this, because he had an outlet to be able to open up and tell you about that. You understand what I'm saying?
So. Yeah, and that ninth grade, transitioning from the eighth grade to high school, that's a very difficult time for young ladies and young men. It's everything is all new, and then top that with whatever issues you have going on at home. Everybody has issues going on at home. So, we want to have to do a better job with helping our children. And I just want to congratulate you on your book, new curriculum, and my prayers are with you for your vision for the future of your project. And thank you for calling in today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Have a great day. Have a great week. everyone.
You too.
Thanks for listening.